this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we take you behind enemy lines at Kangaroo 95 as the Australian Army does battle with the imaginary nation of Orange Land. And I hear once they finish kicking their fictitious orange butt, the next campaign will be to annex Michael Jackson's Neverland. We'll keep you posted. Also today, Mick reveals his day job, the latest on Anna Nicole Smith, and an on-the-spot report from yesterday's controversial pro-marijuana march. We'll have this week's Fumios on Radio Gladiators. We'll once again attempt to talk to the animals. And joining us live to rake through the week that was, it's comedian Steve Bedwell. It's all coming your way on the program that made Uday Hussein take to his family tree with an axe, Martin Malloy. Welcome, people, to the final Martin Malloy for the week with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who has no idea how his passport photo ended up on that controversial underpants billboard, Mick Malloy.
It's a disgrace. There's got to be privacy laws. You know, there I am driving down the road, bang, my butt. It's big as a beetroot.
Well, it's certainly got people talking, though.
It certainly has.
And it's good publicity for the show, I think. But I have to start with a serious matter. Is that all right, Mickey?
Please.
Because all this week we've been celebrating VP Day. Mm-hmm. Australia remembers. We've been honouring those who served in World War II, and that's great. I'm all for it. But while we're all saying hats off to those who fought 50 years ago, I hope we're not forgetting those who are currently serving on the front line. Those brave young diggers who are right now, heads down in the thick of it, up north defending you and I against slimy little invaders from the fictitious but still deadly island of Orange Land. That's right. I'm talking about Kangaroo 95, dismissed by many as a mere exercise. But try telling that to those thousands of young lads and lasses currently holed up in the trenches trying to do battle with a fictitious and therefore bloody hard to pin down enemy. At least we knew where Japan was. Try and find this Orange Land at Annapolis. It ain't there. Some of them barely out of short pants. They're confused. Yep. They're shell-shocked. It's pretty hard to get a bead on an enemy who's a figment of your imagination. I'm telling you, pretend war is hell. And just because they don't exist, it doesn't mean the orange heads, as some of us like to call them, aren't as wily and resourceful as any foe we've faced in conflict. And I see in today's paper, the orange heads are being supported by Optus. Well, all I can say is I'm glad this program's flying the Telstra flag, because you won't find our very good friends at Australia's leading mobile communications network supplying the enemy.
Absolutely.
Those slippery little OJs with free mobile phones. And what about their leader, Sydney primary school teacher and Army reservist General Brian McGrath, or as I call him, the Butcher of Orange Land? When this theoretical but bloody conflict finally ends, will he be brought forward to answer for his fictitious war crimes? And what about the veterans, Mickey, returning from their hypothetical hell to discover a real world that perhaps they don't recognise anymore? Where's their simulated ticker tape parade? Where is their make-believe victory celebration? And I'm not just talking about those brave boys and girls who have taken on the juicy fruits up north and lived to tell the tale. I'm talking about those who every weekend go into battle against an imaginary enemy on splatball and skirmish courses right up and down this imitation nation at war. To those who have to live with the scars, the unsightly paint stains and dye-splattered pants of a war they didn't start. Lest we forget, Australia, they've looked into the hypothetical heart of darkness and seen the pretend horror. The pretend horror. Summer of 69, that's Brian Adams on Martin Malloy. And Mickey, I've calmed down a bit now.
Have you? It's good to see. Tony Martin has finished that bit. We've gone to a song and he's gone, oh, where's the Ventolin? Rushed over to his bag and taken a shot. He's given his all for this program, people. I hope it's appreciated.
If you can't get worked up about a fictitious war, what can you get worked up about? But anyway, get yourself comfy, Mick, and get yourself composed more than anything.
Okay.
Because it's time to award this week's Fumio, a highly sought-after accolade which we bestow on the person whose actions have provided us with the most material over the last week. And those of you who saw us on the Bert Newton show yesterday already know moves are underway to install Bert as the permanent host of the Fumios. We'll keep you posted on that one. But down to business, and this week's nominees are Uday Hussein, the son of Saddam, whose eagerness to solve domestic disputes by blowing away his nearest available relos is going to make it difficult for his dad to seek re-election on the family ticket.
AIS head swimming coach Gennady Turetsky for poking a fellow passenger in the eye and biting the arm off a flight attendant during a United Airlines flight in America. Further outbursts of this nature will now be known as Turetsky syndrome.
Yes, and John Howard, whose party's policies are the most closely guarded secret since the tackle-out scene from The Crying Game.
And Hugh Hefner, who earlier this week announced he was donating his body to science, which is fine, but it's your mind I'm interested in, Hugh.
Oh, worthy nominees all, but Mick, the Fumio goes to
Anna Nicole Smith. Yes, that's right. The woman who shed tears for her dear, dead 90-year-old husband and then sent in the lawyers to get the remains. Great service she's given to this program and many others like it. And it's not over yet. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Here's a preview of a show that Channel 9 Sports Department have knocked up for the weekend. Have a listen.
Welcome back to our coverage of the Battle for the Ashes. Day three of funeral proceedings here in Texas with the family of J. Howard Marshall getting off to an early lead. But Anna Nicole Smith recovering strongly on day two. Yesterday, of course, was a rest in peace day. Let's cross down to the church for Tony Griggs' corpse report.
Thanks, Richie. Well, some interesting developments here on day three. The day, of course, Jesus made that great recovery back in Nought BC. Unlikely, though, Howard will pull off a similar victory here. You'll see some of the cracks in the corpse have opened right up. On the first day, I could hardly put my key in there, but now, have a look, I can not only get my key in, but my entire arm up to the elbow. Back to you in the Crox, Richie.
Thanks, Tony. And let's take a look at some highlights from day two. Of course, the big news was Anna Nicole opting for the traditional whites in the early morning session. Let's take a look at her paying her respects now on coffin cam. There she is, leaning into the coffin and, whoa, hubba bubba. I haven't seen breasts like that since Merv Hughes used to open the bowling from the Randwick end. She certainly is a contender for International Mourner of the Year. Well, the battle for the ashes continues after these messages, and at this stage, the most likely outcome is a draw. We'll be back with Max Walker and see what he makes of it all.
Well, the old corpse is battling on like a trooper, but it's pretty hot out there in the furnace, though. I think the old fella could be in for...
I said after the messages.
Pretty tough time. Hannah looks good today. I think we're going to see more tears from the plucky widow.
Shut up, Max.
He's in sensational form. Reminds me of the time I was opening in the Caribbean back in 76. I had that brand spanking new cherry and we're steaming him.
Jeez, you shit me.
All right.
Mick, what's on your mind?
Well, I was watching telly last night for want of anything better to do, and they had one of those lottery draws. You know, you get your Oz Lottos and all those, and they show them every week, twice a week now, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just balls coming down, numbers coming out, and everyone going, oh, it's a, you know, it's not like if you miss it, you know, you're going to go around to your mates and go, oh, did you tape it?
Yeah.
You know, because I, you know, I'm behind. I'm three behind, and you know, I don't know if I, you know, if I missed anything good.
Yeah, but hang on a second, Mick. Didn't you just before we started doing this show? Didn't you used to host the lotto on TV yourself?
Oh, you are a dog. You knew I didn't want you to bring that up. It was in the past. I did one or two.
Well, I've got a recording. Have a listen to this.
welcome to Oz Lotto, draw number 601. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Mick Molloy.
Do up your fly!
What?
Your fly!
Oh, sorry. And joining me this evening, as ever, the lovely Nicole Blamey. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Mick. Great to be here.
And you look fantastic. You really do.
Thanks.
And I'll be sleeping with Nicole right after the show. But first, let's get down to business. There go the balls. Good luck tonight, everybody. Hope this will be your lucky night.
Yes, Mick. Tonight is $3,640,022.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yep. Whoever wins that amount of money, watch your back. Last winner had his kids stolen. Oh, and there's the first number. Number six. That's right. And that's what they got. 6 to 10 for kidnapping and aggravated assault. Oh, and that's number 12. That's the number of patients currently down there in the burns unit. Yes, lots of blistering skin and skin grafts going on down there, and that's great, hey, Nikki?
Take your hand off my ass.
Hokily dokily, moving right along, there's 32. The exact number of bourbon and cokes I chugged down before the show. Ugh, come to think of it, I'm not feeling that. Better out than in, hey, Nikki?
You've ruined my dress.
Oh, and there's number one. Yep. And you know, Nikki, that's who you have to look after in this world. Numero uno. Because out there, they'll eat you alive, let me tell you. Get them before they get you, I say. Get what you can and screw you, buddy. Because they'll do it to you. Oh, yeah, they'll do it to you. They kick you when you're down like a mangy dog. Get yourself a gun, huh? Keep it under the pillow, because I've seen the future and it's not pretty. It's chaos, anarchy, roaming packs of drugged out... Oh, thanks, Nicky. And 24. Can't be stuffed thinking of anything for that number. And lucky last, I'll bet it's lucky old number 7. If it is, Nicky, I'll touch you on the breasts. Here it comes. 7! Oh, and we're out of time. I hope your nuts really hurt. Oh, I mean, your numbers came up. And remember, if you've been playing every week for 15 years but forgot to get your ticket and your numbers came up, well, you're a big fat loser. Good night. Say good night, Nikki. Nikki, what are you doing with that stiletto?
Oh, that hurt. Nikki, oh, yeah.
Stand by me. That's John Lennon here on Martin Molloy. And just reminding you, early on today, Radio Gladiators is on the way. And once again, we're going to attempt to talk to the animals. So we want to hear your animals, whatever you got for us. And like we say, we're not expecting a, you know, a full conversation.
No, just a quick yak.
Yeah.
Just a word.
Just a couple of eructations.
A word in
their
shell like ears.
That's right. And now at this point in the program, I'd just like to mention the best of Martin Molloy. We somehow managed to scrape together a best of this program every week. And I'd like to just take a moment of our time, if I may, Mickey, to just go round the grounds and let you know when it can be heard on each of the stations who reluctantly play host to this debacle right across the big brown land. Firstly, in Brisbane, on B105, home of Jamie Dunn and the B105 morning crew, who don't just turn on a top show each and every weekday, but who come Saturday jump in the Black Thunders with the cheese and the elephant guns and go looking for those pesky mice that are plaguing much of the Sunshine State. In Brisbane, you can hear the best of Martin Molloy every Sunday arvo from 4 till 6. Now, in Canberra, on FM 104.7, of the superb FM 104.7 morning crew, including Marty, who's currently battling a weight problem that's had him mistaken in the street for the Deputy Prime Minister on several occasions. On your Marty, in Canberra, the best of's on Sunday mornings 8 till 10. Now, Sydney, on Today FM.
The big cheese.
Oh, yeah, the formidable, though delectable, Wendy Harmer, who wields the big stick and keeps her morning crew crapping on the admittedly feeble opposition from the moment they arrive for work at 1 a.m. when Wendy forces them through a rigorous regime of vocal calisthenics and aerobics Oz style. In Sydney,
We're also on Sunday mornings, 8 till 10, now in Melbourne, on the all-new Fox, where every morning the Danger Lowbrow team not only punch out a program that's the only thing Jeffrey Kennett listens to aside from his own voice, it's so bloody good. The last week's shows are being mastered onto CD and whacked into the next Voyager spacecraft to be used as an intergalactic calling card by the boffins at NASA. In Melbourne, our best of can now be heard Saturdays. Well, I think it's in the morning now. They're keeping it moving. Yeah. Saturday mornings, 8 till 11. And finally, Adelaide. Adelaide, home of Mr. Breakfast, Steve Bedwell, who, when he's not polishing up the gags that made Billy Crystal quit the Oscars and start looking for a proper job, he's hard at work with the big wigs at Adelaide CSIRO perfecting that super pig. That super pig that made South Australia the envy of the scientific community. In Adelaide, we're also on Saturday mornings, 8 till 10. So there it is, people. And, in fact, Mr. Bedwell is our guest in the next hour. So, Steve, if you're listening, put the pork down and dab. You know what it's time for?
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
And today's challenge, because are we running a bit late today, Gracie?
A little bit.
Whose fault is that? I blame that Anna Nicole Smith battle for the ashes myself.
If she'd just settle down, stop doing so many stupid things, we could get on with the music.
Indeed, but look, the challenge today, we've done this one before. We want to talk to your animals. We want to hear sheep. We want to hear dogs. We want to hear...
We're running the gamut of the farmyard, Tone. Anything you got.
Super pigs.
Absolutely.
If you've got an actual real-life super pig, we want to hear it down the phone, and we're not expecting sparkling repartee.
No, we don't want witticisms.
No.
We just want a bit of grunt.
We don't want bombos. We just want a bit of weird noise, basically. And, hey, the prize is... Oh, I wish... Oh, have we not got time to talk about the wonderful features of... No.
No.
Gee, if you could see our producer's face.
There's going to be books down the back of the pants for you and me after today's show.
Well, I think it is. $200 and a three-pack of CDs that includes Hootie and the Blowfish. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's
Call
it.
Now with your animals.
Real animals.
That's right. No pretendy tendy animals. 1-800-657-657. It's Radio Gladiators. Today we're playing Talk to the Animals, and here's the concept. We want to hear real, actual animals down the line. And I just keep hearing Mick Molloy saying this on the phone. No, mate. No, it has to be a real elephant. No, that's not a real elephant. So,
not a seal, mate. That is not a seal.
We've had some great animal impersonators, but we are looking for the actual bona fide, living, breathing beast today on the segment. Who have you got first for us?
Well, we've got Lauren on the line. G'day, Lauren.
Hi.
How are you? No, very good, obviously. You can get your pet to talk. We just can't get anything out of you. Now, what have you got for us?
Well, my dog, she can say, please, mummy.
Please, mummy. Okay.
Let's hear that.
Okay. Prinny, what'd you say? Prinny, what'd you say?
Absolutely nothing.
She's coming. What'd you say?
She's not even in the same room at the moment.
Yeah, she's here. Okay, here she goes. Please, mummy.
I think somebody... Oh.
That's dear mummy, is it?
No, please mummy, me.
Oh, please mummy. That's a pretty dysfunctional family you've got yourself there, Lauren.
Yes, I think we've heard quite enough of... So we might move on to our next caller. Who is it, Mick?
Which will be Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay. How are you? You there, Lindsay?
How you going?
Good, mate. How are you? What do you got for us?
Oh, I got a couple of dogs ready to talk to you.
Oh, you got a couple, have you?
Yeah.
Excellent. The more the merrier.
Yeah,
wind them up and let them go.
All right. Ready? Ready? Speak. There you go.
That's very good. And what do you think they were saying there?
Oh, hurry up.
They were saying, come on, give us that three pack of CDs.
I've just come home from the butchers.
One of them was saying, oh, we're crapping all over that last caller. But who have we got next, Mickey?
Oh, I dare say we've got Aaron on the line. G'day, Aaron.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. What have you got for us?
I got my cat, Moose.
Oh, your little pussy cat. What's
on
it called?
On my lap.
On Moose. Your lap?
Yeah.
Thanks for painting the picture for us, but we really just wanted to speak to it.
Let's hear a bit of Moose then.
Okay.
You've just got a 3-month old baby there that you're squeezing, aren't you?
Now, how exactly did you go about producing that sound? You're not sitting there with a pencil, are you?
What are you doing? Give us your secret, Aaron.
I don't know. She just hates me.
Oh, okay.
She hates you.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So it's a bit of a family grudge thing being played out before our ears on Radio Gladiators. Who's next?
Oh, well, why don't we try good old Karen? We got Karen there. Yes, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. What have you got?
I've got a chihuahua.
Have you really?
Yes.
That's a very small dog, isn't it?
It is.
You got a muzzle on it when you take it walking?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Right. Fire her up.
Okay.
There's someone at the door. The RSPCA.
Come on, quick.
Apparently you've been mistreating your dog.
Come on, Tessa.
Oh, we definitely heard something. The
squeaking of a rubber duck.
Have we got time for one more, Mickey?
Yes, Cherie, are you there? Cherie?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
Now, what have you got for us? Something good, I hope.
I've got a cockatiel.
Have you? And what does your basic cockatiel sound like?
Well, he normally talks, but he's gone a bit shy.
Has he really?
Larry, his name is, okay?
Larry?
Yeah.
Okay, you see if you can get Larry to say a few words.
All right, hang on a sec. Come on. I'm going to put him on the roast in a second if he doesn't
know. Oh, dear. Hang on. Jeez, then we'll hear him squealing.
Hang on, he's nearly doing it. Right.
Did we just hear your cockatiel say bastard?
Yeah, he does. He says bastard.
Oh, okay.
No, well, he won't do it. He's kind of shy.
See if it can say in the next hour, Steve Bedwell.
Hang on a sec. Steve Bedwell.
It's just flown out the window.
What was that?
That was him.
Oh, well, it's not a bad act, but I think we're going to have to give it to the cat today, Mickey.
It's the cat and it's Aaron.
Yes.
With a possibly fraudulent cat.
Are you there, Aaron? Oh, well, I think we're having a bit of trouble. You know what it is? It's these darn Optus phones.
Well, Aaron?
Yeah?
Well, what's that? What's your cat up to?
She won't shut up now.
Shut up.
Oh, yes. I have the feeling the claws are sticking into the side of your jugular, Aaron. But don't worry, because you've just bagged $200 and the 3-pack of CDs.
Oh, no way.
And it's Hootie and the Blowfish. Your cat will love that. Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. We'll fire it up again on Monday morning or Monday evening or whenever this show goes out.
I'm never certain myself.
And stick around, people, after the news. We'll be chatting with Steve Bedwell.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
Let's bring in a bloke who knows what he's doing. He's been on before. He's come back for more. It's Steve Bedwell.
Good afternoon, gents. And I feel compelled to tell you that, particularly coming in and there's a picture of a top hat and some glass on the door. I just feel compelled to call you, gents.
Glad you noticed, Steve. Now, I believe you've got a bit of gossip, a bit of talk involving Mick Malloy.
Well, you know, I'm not interested in scuttlebutt as a rule, but this has come across my desk, so to speak, and I have to take you back, Mick. Let's go back to grade 5 at Mount Eliza State School.
Oh, yes.
Some of the happiest days of your life, where a young Mike Malloy, as you were known then, somebody foolishly told you looked a bit like Elvis.
It's true.
And that was your cue to borrow one of your school chums' navy blue parka and put it on, turn up the collar and wander around the Oval doing Elvis. Do you remember this, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
Or should I call you Mick? Now, I understand also at this time you were, quote, a bit of an edgy outsider. Now, with behaviour like that, I can't understand why. Until the day one of the cool guys, Jed Wall, just pushed you that bit too far and you beat him to what could only be described as a bloody pulp, thus assuring your lifelong popularity.
It's true. Up until that point, I was going to join the castrati. But after that, I started playing footy and became one of the blokes.
And Jed Wall still talks about that day.
Can I ask for your source on that, Betters?
Dado A.
Dado.
Yes.
My old nemesis, Andrew Dado.
Yes. There's another revelation. Mick actually went to school with most of the Dados.
That's right. And in fact, here's something while we're getting into scuttlebutt. And I'm sure they all did this, including Cam. I'm sure they won't mind me mentioning. It's probably on his resume. But they had Dado boys had the uncanny ability to be able to fart on cue. Now, doesn't sound like much now, but in the schoolyard, you're king.
Yeah.
You own the joint.
Yeah,
and they could do it.
If you're not adverse to putting someone's, you know, lunch down the back of your pants or a pencil case or something.
Lots of that going on.
And maybe if Cam had made a bit more use of that skill, Models Inc. would still be on the air.
Exactly.
That's a fantastic story, Stephen. I won't tell you what happened when somebody told me at my school that I looked a bit like Gilbert O'Sullivan, but we haven't got time for that now.
The fact that Lepetamine's last name was, in fact, Dado.
Oh, but let's get down to business. What's taking your fancy in the news this week, Steve?
Well, I'm sure you blokes were touched as I was in the paper last weekend to see 97-year-old Les Colley with his 4-year-old son, Ozzy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Les fathered young Ozzy at the age of 9.
Right.
Now, you know, things must be pretty tough on a little Ozzy having a 97-year-old dad, of course. I mean, the explanation of the tooth fairy is hardly convincing coming from a bloke whose entire set of teeth come out every night. And I can imagine it's very embarrassing asking for a bike for your birthday and unwrapping a penny farthing. But not to mention poor Ozzy's mum, who's, you know, quite frankly, flat out changing both their nappies. But I guess the worst part is knowing that, you know, by the time you were fathered, your dad's sperm had probably started growing legs and their tails had dropped off.
Oh, dear. Steve, can I interrupt briefly? I mean, you've brought up the issue of my schoolyard rumbles.
Yes.
There's a very big fight on this weekend. The Tyson fight is going up again. What do you make of it?
Well, Iron Mike just gets back in the ring tomorrow against Pete the Irish Hurricane McNeely. Now, from what I've seen, it's more like Pete cool southwesterly winds with a chance of a shower or two, McNeely. But the main talk surrounding his fight would appear to be centred on Iron Mike's new tattoos.
Now, of course,
he's emerged of late with tennis great Arthur Ashe on one arm and Mao Tse-tung on the other.
That's right. Yeah.
Which leads me to ask, what sort of correctional facility has he in fact been in? Now, apparently these new tats are a result of Iron Mike doing a bit of reading in jail.
Right.
Now, if that's the case, I'm very surprised he hasn't come out festooned with John and Betty. But it gets you wondering, just how pissed do you have to be to wander in a tattoo studio and say, give me a bit of Chairman Mao on one arm. I think I have Arthur Ashe on the other, thanks. And it's an unusual request. And the tattooist obviously had a bit of trouble adapting because I see that Arthur Ashe is holding a knife between his teeth and Chairman Mao's got a snake coming out one of his eyes. But the really sad part is that Mike got them, these two tattoos, because they reminded him of his parents.
Is that right? Yeah. Is that
lovely
right?
Thought.
Yes.
Now, Steve, I don't know how I can bring this up in a kind of sensitive way, but I did notice just before we went to air, you were looking through the paper and you had your eye on our old friends, the Advanced Hair Studios. What do you make of their latest work?
I can't begin to tell you how disappointed I am in them. With Graham Yallop and Greg Matthews, they'd set a trend. They'd set out on the noble road of restoring hair to the follically challenged heads of our former Test cricketing greats.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that job was finished. One DK Lilly, just to name one, could certainly do with it. Suddenly, for reasons best known to themselves, they've swapped horses and up pops Brian Murphy,
that's right,
star of George and Mildred, sporting his new crop. Now, I don't know about you blokes, but if I was your average balding fella considering a bit of strand-by-strand replacement, and two test cricketers can't tempt me, I find it hard to believe that George Roper will. Now, what's next for these people? What are they going to follow this up with? More 70s Pommy sitcom stars? Perhaps the cast of Are You Being Served? I can just imagine, after being asked if he's free, Captain Peacock answering,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, all I know is that I'm going to wait till I'm just completely balled up top, and then I'm going to go in, sit down and say, give me a Blakey.
Yeah. Oh, this hair replacement was due out 10 minutes ago.
Sorry, I couldn't resist it.
You love it.
And I'm afraid, Steve, can you stick around for a while?
Love to.
Because we want to know what's going on in Adelaide. We'll be back to talk about that in just a moment.
SAFM.
Steve Bedwell's popped in today. And, Steve, we always like to find out when you pop in, what's going on in South Australia?
Well, the big news of the powder keg in South Australia of recent times has been that, according to the Correctional Services Minister, prisoners in South Australia have got it too easy.
Is that right?
Yes. I don't think anybody's got it easy in jail. Look what they've done to Iron Mike's arms. But he's likened them to five-star hotels, and he wants rich prisoners to pay the cost of their time in jail. Now, I can't say whether the prisoners in South Australian jails have got it too easy, but suffice to say, there was a riot last week because the duck a l'orange was, quote, a little too orangey. Now, you know, I don't think it's too much that each cell has its own trouser press. I think that's lovely. And there's nothing quite like getting back from a hard stint in the exercise yard and finding a little mint on your pillow. I think that's beautiful. But I do think it's a little much that every morning Lynn Hamilton has to personally wake each prisoner singing them a verse or two of On the Inside. I think they've got a bit too far there.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And, of course, the other big thing in Adelaide this week was an unemployed man with, quote, a terrible urge to drive buses, end quote, took a bus on a joyride and pranged it, causing $15,000 in damage. Now, apparently, police traced him to a house with advertising written all over the side of it, of course,
right,
and a couch inside with a yellow line painted on it that you couldn't sit forward off. But anyway, Magistrate Joe Baldino, who incidentally the accused kept calling Blakey, accepted the terrible urge to drive buses defence and refused bail. Well, you know, of course he refused bail. You just can't have actually want to drive buses wandering around loose. Somebody might employ them. And before you know it, you know, public transport might become vaguely pleasant. We can't have that. Anyway, it's just as well he's locked up. I mean, no bus was safe with this fiend on the streets. Two trains and a ferry had already taken out restraining orders against him, and he was known to be stalking a tram.
Is that right? Now, what? Just before you wrap up on Adelaide, nothing on the Super Pig today, Steve?
As far as I know, I ate something that I would like to think came from the Super Pig. It was the super fat pig. I think it might have been one of It didn't have much red stuff, lots of white stuff.
Oh, okay.
Just a big bit of fatty bacon.
Grizzly bits.
Yeah, and I'd like to think it came from the super pig. So I'd like to think that I had actually chewed down on the super pig at some. If I had it here, I'd just take a bite out of it. Wouldn't kill it. Just bite it. And say, that's your super pig. Take this.
Oh, well, make sure you bring enough for everyone. All right?
I'd take a bite and pass it around.
Absolutely. Hey, now, Steve, me and Tom were having a discussion just before the show about what we're going to do on the weekend.
Yes.
We thought what we might do is go out, find ourselves a whale, and stand on its back. Because that's becoming quite a rage, isn't it? We've had a couple of incidents like that.
People can't get enough of it. Yeah. It's going crazy because Andrew Kirvin, of course, made the mistake of not only standing on the whale, but stupidly having his photo taken while he was on it.
Oh, yeah,
that's where he went wrong.
Exactly.
Right. Just showing off. Just showing off. And he was, of course, charged with and convicted of interfering with a marine mammal.
Mm.
Now, because his defence was, of course, the whale approached him.
Oh, right.
As you know. But other pictures taken clearly show him cruising past the whale in a speedboat, carrying a bag of mackerel and telling the whale that its mum was sick and had sent him to pick it up. Now, police are furthering this because they believe that he may be able to help them with their inquiries as to the whereabouts of the missing Beaumont dolphins.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm glad we've got all the whale walking material out of our systems at last, people.
Finished.
And before you go, Steve, have you got something to plug?
Yeah, I might as well go to the Flog now. Next Friday and Saturday night at Her Majesty's in Adelaide, you can see Bruno Lucia, you can see Gene Kitson, you can see Anthony Aykroyd, you can see Judith Lucy, you can, of course, see Matt King, and you can see me in two shows to benefit SIDS research out of Majesty's.
And will it be a laugh fest?
Oh, Unbelievable. They've got this idea where the comedians will come out surrounded in a sea of red noses.
Oh, that's great. Huh? That's fantastic.
I tried to tell them Lionel Murphy's dead, but they just wouldn't believe me. Well,
maybe they can
that's
get
in
the...
Adelaide. Of course, people in Melbourne tonight can see myself, Tim Smith and the Empty Pockets upstairs at The Last Laugh in the Friday night debacle.
Debacle. Last week you did Helium Theatre, and I'm hoping that's going to go interstate yes. and really take off. And Steve, you haven't got a book coming out, record, nothing?
No, not at this. I'm working on something. I'm working on a spoken word recording even as we speak. It's called Me and the Super Pig Speak.
Well, you tell us about that next time you hear. We've been talking once again with Steve Bedwell on Martin Molloy. Ugly issue of legalising marijuana, or as some people prefer to call it, the wacky tobacco. I myself prefer the more classical jazz cigarettes, as you know. Take us through the issue.
Well, yesterday, Tony, as you'd probably know, students from all around the country marched as part of a nationwide campaign by the National Union of Students to legalise marijuana and other hemp byproducts.
Right.
I think that includes Greg Matthews' hairpiece. The main one in Sydney started on uni campus and was supposed to, this is a march, and was supposed to end on the steps of Parliament.
Right.
Well, you know, one thing led to the other, and it actually ended at a 7-Eleven about two blocks away.
Of course.
They then occupied the building where they staged a pig out. It was pretty full on, lots of chanting. What do we want? Cadbury's Flake. When do we want it? Now. Then they tipped over a car and ripped out all the seats. It wasn't part of the protest. They were just trying to find their stash.
That's all we've got time for, I'm afraid. Thanks to our guest today, Steve Bedwell, and all our gladiators. As always, a big end of week salute to our fearless producer, Gracie.
And you, Gracie.
All the nimble-fingered button pushers round the network. The woman who does the voices we can't, Kath Garrett, and the man in the glass booth, Pete Smith. Next week, our guests include Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, Rob Sitch, and Big Maxie Walker. But we'll be back Monday. Until then, I'm Tony Martin.
I'm Mick Molloy.
And I'm Mary Hart.
Martin Molloy is a production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.